Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Backboard Podcast. We are here for episode 63, and now my guest has been here before. He's been in two prior episodes, and I don't quite know the exact numbers. I'm sure that you were on episode 10, though. I'm sure you were.
12 10. Sounds familiar.
It might have been 12, actually. Yeah, no, let me have a check. Yeah, you are. No, Eric Anders was number 10. You are... oh yes, number 12. That Steve was way back in September 2020. So
wow,
quite a while ago. It was nearly a year now since our first podcast. I think we did another one in October. But we're back again. We're back again today, and we're going to be talking about something interesting. Now, I would say, if you would like to listen to this episode, great. Definitely listen, but we do have two episodes previous, as we've mentioned. Definitely take a look at them, I would say, before you listen to this one. But by all means, take a listen to this one as well. So Steve, welcome. How's your weekend been, other than, well, Notts County losing?
It was only pre-season friendly, but other than that, the weekend was good.
I'll tell you something.
Thank
right.
you.
Well, no, I'm sorry for that to be the conversation starter, because I went to watch Notts County on the invitation of my dad, and I really enjoyed the game. I really enjoyed watching it because, you know, shouting at the players, and not Notts County players, the other players. I just shouted ref every time he walked or booed him.
So the question is, was that first goal for Notts a goal? Where it bounced and came out again. I don't think it went over the line.
Do you not think so?
No, not from the angle I saw it at.
Tough one. Or was it the second goal, Steve? Because I'm pretty sure the second goal...
It might have been the second. Might have been the second one. It was the one that bounced off the crossbar.
Oh, the crossbar. Because the first one, I think, was... Yeah. I'm pretty sure the first one was the one where he crossed it in and it went right-hand corner. And the second one... It came off the crossbar. That one,
right.
I don't know, because when I was standing there, I mean, it was fantastic, by the way. You saw the curvature on it. It was a really good goal. If it was a goal, as we're saying. But no, it was quite hard to tell whether it was a goal, because from my view, I was just looking at the goal. I couldn't see the line or anything.
Where were you viewing from?
I would just say that it's the stand opposite the Jimmy Cyril stand. So I don't know much about Notts County, but that's the stand. So,
the Derek Pavis, the main stand.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Don't get me wrong. We went into the Broken Wheelbarrow before. It was a good game. You know, obviously, I don't know why, but Notts County don't chant.
Well, we've got a great song, The Wheelbarrow. We had a wheelbarrow, the wheel fell off. That's the song of choice.
Mm. I mean, I've not heard it yet. So that made me quite upset, because I was like, I'm used to going to watch Forest games, and although I can't say that we did too well the other night, I definitely think that there is improvements to be made, and I think we can kind of know where those improvements are. But I'm not really, you know, the world of football at the moment for me has been quite, it's been a bit upsetting, really. I'd say that money has become.
I think money's big, but I think the whole game of football has suffered during COVID, because it's become so very distant for a lot of people. It's just something you either listen to on the radio or watch the scores, and that's about it.
Before I mention something about radio, actually, I thought I would just say, I think that Messi going to PSG, and I know the whole Jack Grealish thing earlier this week, it's been ghosted by the, you know, Messi leaving. I'm going to be honest with you all. I think Messi's a fantastic player, one of the best ever. But he's greedy and he's selfish. And although it was down to...
financially on the ball.
Well, definitely not on the ball. And if he is selfish, I would say it's for good reason. But the problem is Barcelona has been run very badly, whether it be from Bartomeu, for the last few years, and obviously with the Super League idea and all of that kind of stuff. Although that is definitely bad for, you know, Barcelona, and the owners are definitely the reason that has happened. I think Messi taking a million plus a week is completely irresponsible. I think
wages and money in, especially in the Premier League, is just obscene. It's out of hand. It's no longer the national sport of football. It's a business, and I don't actually, to be honest, don't really monitor the Premiership. I started the Championship and moved down.
And do you know what, Steve? I'm beginning to feel the same way, because although I love watching Premier League football, and the only teams that I'm very excited to watch, Man United, because it's a family thing, and I quite enjoy watching Leeds, not because I support them, but I just think it's an interesting team. Leicester as well. You know, just the smaller teams in the Premier League, you know, they're top six team now. But, you know, watching them come from the Championship all those years ago was fantastic. But I think for me, it's football, it's becoming a business, and you know, people that own multiple clubs and are seeing massive profits coming out of it. You know, we all know that PSG, although they're going to pay mega bucks for Messi, who's on 35 million a year now, they're going to see hundreds of millions of pounds in shirt revenue just from his name being back off on the back of the shirt. They're going to see like tens, if not hundreds of millions of pounds. And, you know, Barcelona's going to lose. I'm sure someone said around 107 million pounds through Messi leaving. Now, I don't know whether that be because of things that he's won them or just the fact that all the shirt sales and merchandise that, because Barcelona is Messi and Messi is Barcelona. Do you know what I mean? That's what we all know it as.
I get that, but that's wrong as well, because it's not about one person, it's about the team. And again, that's where big business is just ruining it.
And do you know what, Steve? And this will be my last point on it. I really, really hate the fact that we are becoming that kind of brand. Do you know what I mean? It's all about the brand of a football club. I mean, you look at Man City, right? They've spent nearly £1 billion since Pep Guardiola became the manager. And yet, you know, they're still not winning the Champions League. How?
Yeah.
How is that happening?
Because it's simple. You cannot buy a trophy.
No, you can't, yeah.
You have to build a team. And if you've got big, big money earners, and then people, because the clubs have got caps on how much they can spend on wages, you got lesser paid, it's never going to be a team.
I would say actually that, you know, you get people like Sir Alex Ferguson, and although the inflation of like how much players cost was a bit different when he was last there, Sir Alex Ferguson would invest in youth that wouldn't always cost a lot, and he would you know, bring them to be great players, or they were already great, and he'd bring them in. You know, I think Van Persie sold for something like 30 million, 36 million to Man United, which at the time was a huge amount of money. But Van Persie now, you know, with how much good form he was on at Man United, he'd be worth so much.
The smaller clubs, unfortunately, have to try and bring talent through, and then they end up selling it on to the big clubs because that's the only way they can survive. Yeah,
and that's the unfortunate bit about it, because Forest have had so many good talents over the years. Whether people like Forest or not, you have to admit we've had good talent. You know, Matty Cash, we all wanted to keep him. He was probably one of the best right-backs we'd had for a long time. But, no, we had sell him to Aston Villa for 17 million or whatever it was. You know, Oliver Burke, lots of money. Antonio, lots of money. We can't keep hold of these players simply because of the fact that once you put a large offer in Championship terms on the table, we're going to accept it. But to a big club, it's like, well, actually, it's not that much. So,
yeah, but in just fact, trying to buy success,
and unfortunately, that is the way that football is becoming in some ways. However, doesn't mean you're always going to win. Look at, you know, Man City; they're not winning the Champions League. So, you know, but going kind of back to earlier, what we mentioned about the radio, and not just sports on the radio, just the radio in general. I understand that you do quite a lot. For a radio station, like locally, don't you?
Yes, I am heavily involved in Nottingham Hospitals Radio, or NHR as it's called. I'm doing shows. I also do all the scheduling. I'm a committee member as well. So, yes, I do a fair amount.
And you enjoy it, yeah?
It's a little hard work sometimes, especially through COVID. It's, without a shadow of a doubt, been tough at times. But hopefully we're recovering, we're coming out to the other side, and we'll start building it back up again. And it'll be a bit easier.
Well, do you know what? And you know, from seeing what NHR have done, and also I thought I've just mentioned now whilst I'm here, just a big thank you to you, Steve, because I had no idea really about what NHR was until probably last year, I'd say. I'd never heard of Nottingham Hospital radio before. I'd never heard of it, which is a bit, you know, because obviously I thought that maybe it was, I didn't even know it existed, you know.
No, there's about 180, 190 hospital radio stations at them until they find themselves in hospital, and they get a bedside unit with where the radio, generally the TV is paid for, but has to be paid for, but the radio is free, and there's the hospital radio station is usually one of those channels. So it's there, it's small and interactive, so in normal times you can go on the wards, you can meet the people, and you can go on the journey with them and play the music. And there is something still, I think, about having your name on the radio.
Well, I love radio. And when introduced to Nottingham Hospital Radio, it was definitely a fascination of mine. And I researched hospital radio. And I would say that a lot of the people that are in radio now do start off with something like hospital radio. It's great for experience. And also it's great for meeting new people and doing something great. And even though you might not necessarily be wanting to go into radio, you might think, well, this is something that's good. You know, it's something new. Why not try it out? And recently I'd hinted to a few friends that I would be kind of doing something new, hopefully, in the coming time. And I've applied to be part of NHR, thanks to Steve's recommendation. And, you know, I'd like to thank you for that, Steve, because it's awesome. You know, I really like the idea of Nottingham Hospital Radio. And I think, providing I don't annoy people, which I hope I don't annoy you all with my voice, I think I'd be suitable for it. And I'd hope that people would, you know, tune in. And, you know, obviously I've listened to Nottingham Hospital Radio, and you don't have to be in hospital necessarily to listen to it. It's a great radio station. And they have some great music. They even had an Andy Williams day. Was that in April, Steve, I think?
Oh, I can't remember when Andy Williams was on. There is another Andy Williams coming up as well, actually. Yeah, I can't remember what it is. I'm looking at the schedule now. I'm just trying to find it. Guys. Oh, yeah, I think there was a one-hour concert coming up. I think, there might be a Let's Get Together where they just do a play the songs and talk and give you loads of information about their selected artist. I'm pretty certain, I can't find it at the moment, but I'm sure there's another one coming up in some way, shape or form.
That's great news. That is really, really great news, because I love Andy Williams. For anybody that doesn't know, I love Andy Williams. Not necessarily because of the fact that I just love all old music, because I don't. There's a lot of old music that I don't like. But I really love Andy Williams songs, and I would play you a song, but we'd get done for copyright. I think we would. Unless
indeed,
I said owning it on Spotify, you know, because it's owned by Spotify Anchors. So, but yeah,
indeed you would get into trouble, because the music and performing rights is a complex area, shall we say.
In fact, that's a good question then, really, isn't it? What do you guys have to do in terms of like music, and because how do you get the music to play? Like, how does that work?
Well, we have a playout system that's got about, I don't know, 4,500 tracks on it. But we have a massive media vinyl library. We've got CDs. We can download stuff. So we can get it from all over the place. There's rarely a track we can't find, and several of the patients on ward rounds have made it their ambition to try and find something we can't find. And we've never failed, to my knowledge anyway. So we got, you know, we can get it from all sorts of places, but we have to be licensed. So we have to have a license to broadcast. And that's varies in cost and price, depending on how many listeners you get and how long they listen for and all sorts of things that we have to gather and submit.
So it's I don't know if you can reveal that cost, but is it a decent cost? Because I mean, there's people that set up their own radio stations, so what would you say to them regarding the cost of it?
Well, if you've not got financial backing and means to pay, then keep your audience small. Because if you got a small audience with, you know, just a few users, you can do it for hundreds of pounds. But if you start, especially on the internet, or if you go FM or whatever, DAB, then the costs can rapidly shoot up.
So, I mean, I don't even know if you can release this information. So this is a good question for you. Would NHR ever go to DAB and become widely available? Even more widely available, should I say?
Well, there's a thing called small scale DAB, and that is an option. It's not yet available in the East Midlands. I think it's a couple of phases away in the release cycle that the Ofcom are running.
Right.
So, and that's basically you share the cost of what's known as a mux, and you can broadcast via it. And normally a port would cost you about £50 a month. And then you've got to whatever licensing and based on the number of listeners and all that kind of stuff that you've got. So it's not something to go into lightly. And ultimately, you have to remember what the radio station is about. We're currently, you know, a healthcare, health and well-being service provider, if you like. We focus, our community is the hospital. Whether we, you know, so I have no issues if we can afford it, to go out a bit wider. But the focus for me has always got to be the hospital and the patients and the staff and the, you know, the relatives of patients. That's got to be the heart of it. So I could see, you know, broadcasting to care homes and all that sort of stuff in due course.
Well, I quite, because obviously we had a chat yesterday, not necessarily about radio, but about NG9 News, and because obviously me and you both kind of theorised it, you know, in October 2020. But we had a chat the other day about the founding principles of it, which I think links very heavily to this. Because obviously the founding principles of NHR will be to serve the hospital, you know.
Or the hospital. We've got a charitable constitution that says what we do. And we need to stick to that, really, because we don't want to be a community radio station, because then that loses focus. So,
Well, no, that's that you have to stick by your founding principles. And obviously, when we had a chat about how we're, because, you know, obviously we're going to have to take, I want to take things further with the news. I'd like to make it into not a business. I don't want to put it like that. I'd like to make it into a company or an organization that will allow us to have our own funds and allow us to have, you know, the things that we need, whether it be like press licenses or things like that, things that are necessary to do journalism. Because obviously I don't see really competition when it comes to, because some people will say to me, well, you're not Nottinghamshire Live, are you? So people aren't going to, you know, listen in as much. But it's like, people have come at me before saying that, well, this information is infactual, because of the fact that Notts Live posted it, almost as if it's like competition. And I got my stats off a government website, so they were shut down quite quickly. But the issue is that people see like media shouldn't be a business. I don't feel, as in terms of the news, I don't feel it should be a massive multi-billion dollar business or billion pound business. I think that you should be able to make money from it. And it, you know, if you want to make it into a business, that is your thing. Do that. But I just think the idea of people sometimes paying to see news is just wrong, in my opinion. And for community news as well, which is a lot smaller scale, I definitely don't think you should be paying for news. And in terms of the benefits of being...
I think you get what you pay for.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You get what you pay for, but the problem for me is that it's like, I would never pay for news. I would never do that.
Think pipes.
It's a tough one. Because I would always stick by that.
BBC, but yeah. I mean...
I'm getting a bit
BBC, we pay for that anyway because, yeah, the BBC, we pay for it because we have a TV license. That's how it's paid for. Sky News sell advertising, so we're the product. If it's free, the individual who's receiving it is the product. You know, so Sky News, etc. So, and if you want the global news, then it's expensive to get with the journal. I think for a community, a small community like NG9, then absolutely do it as a charitable, because you're wanting to be part of the community, you're wanting to help the community, and there's, you know, and not just help the charities within the community and all that. So, you know, if a charity is having a fundraising event, you want to be able to publicize it for them and help them. And yes, but even though it costs money, you know, the websites cost money to host and maintain.
I would, the thing about running and doing what we do, obviously, you know, we all have our own individual roles. And I'd like to say that when we had the idea, I picked the people that were best for, were the best for what they needed to do in terms of being part of our organization. Sometimes they haven't stayed with us. Sometimes they haven't stayed in that particular position and they've gone and done something different. But we picked, I think, the right people. And this is a big shout out to everybody that does volunteer with us. Thank you. You know, because obviously we're all volunteers at the end of the day. We're all volunteers. We're not getting paid for this. If we do make a mistake, point it out to us. You know, don't be rude, you know, because this isn't our job. You know, we've all got our own individual. I've got a job now. Obviously, Steve, you've got a job. We've all got jobs. We've all got jobs. We've all got things to do.
Absolutely. I think people have got to remember that it is a it is a community endeavor. Like you say, nobody's getting paid to do it. Everybody's trying their best. You've got to accept that things sometimes go wrong. You sometimes get it wrong, but it's, as long as it's dealt with and it's put right, then, you know, people shouldn't be obnoxious. And there have been people that have been purely abusive, especially on social media, not necessarily about the NG9 news channels per se, but just about the area in which they live, and everything is wrong. They just don't want to support everything. They just want to have a go at everything. And you're always going to get people like that. Sad though it is. I mean, I respect everybody's rights to have an opinion. It's how you put that opinion over. You don't, you know, if you don't like something, you don't need to be rude about it. We see it all over the place these days on social media. Obviously, this is all at the end of the Euros, it all ended with racial abuse. Ian Wright got some at Leicester the other day. It's just wrong, and there's just no excuse for it.
There's not, and I think no matter whether you're paid or you're not, nobody should receive abuse for the things that they do. And I'm going to be open with you all about, and you know, whether I'm not allowed to, I don't really care, to be completely honest with you. We've made some mistakes in terms of the news. And I want to be open with you because I think we should be as transparent as we can. and understand where we get our news stories from. You know, and there's not just a big cash and carry for news stories where we go in and every day and we buy them. You know, this is a real, this is real. Now we have notifications from the police, whether it be, sometimes you get it from the media office in the email, but that's very rare. But it tends to be just a Facebook notification because we obviously follow them on Facebook. And we will see what the police have posted and then develop it into an article, make some independent, you know, emails and, you know, ask around and stuff like that for more information on it. But we've made a few mistakes, and the police have made a few mistakes, which have actually been quite bad for us, because we had an article a few weeks ago that was actually, I mean, I don't know why they asked it to, us to take it down. I was extremely busy at the time. It was around near my birthday and I didn't really have a lot of time. And obviously, you know, I was hoping other members of the group monitored the inbox, which is all right if they didn't, because that is really my job. That's kind of what I do. And obviously, I didn't really have enough time to take this article down. And the article apparently was infactual and the police had got a mistake and they were taking them to the High Court. And they were threatening us with the High Court for an article that we didn't take down just because I didn't have enough time to take it down. And I thought to myself, if I could reply unprofessionally or professionally that wouldn't have an impact on, because if I replied in a bad way, it would have had a bad impact. I would have simply replied, good luck suing a 15-year-old and a charitable organisation. You know, you can sue us. And if you do get money off us, then fair enough. But I think at the end of the day, if you're really willing to sue, we're not a charity. But if you're willing to sue a community kind of based news channel that doesn't make any money off anything we say, feel free. But I think the only person that won't be able to sleep at night is you. So,
yeah, you know, threatening legal actions, which is totally inappropriate. There's a lot of lawsuits that are just totally irrelevant and shouldn't be allowed. I mean, if there's a deliberate defamation or something like that, then fair enough. But I think a lot of it is just people trying to make a quick buck.
I do. And I think that if you're willing to take from the community, be my guest. But believe me, we will use, and this is not a threat by any means, but I'm just saying, if you're willing to do that, we will report on us being sued. If it happened, I would have reported on us being sued, and I would have reported the fact that we made a mistake posting that, but it wasn't our mistake. This was the mistake of the police. We all make mistakes. That's okay, right? This was a mistake of the police, which we tried to explain, but obviously some people don't understand that. We're volunteers. We've all got things to do, jobs. Some of us work days, some of us work nights. You know, we don't always have time. But I would just like to say that I've written 354 articles, I think, now. And I've loved writing every single one of them. And to be honest with you, I haven't received... there's been times where it's been like abuse, kind of, but it's not really terrible. But you also get people that are just extremely rude. I mean, we posted something about Beeston Street Art, and we put a picture of Marmite and we said, Beeston Street Art, yes or no? It was a very simple question. Do you like Beeston Street Art? Do you not? We didn't say whether we liked it or not, because I'm actually in favour of it. I think what Jeannie and the team are doing there is fantastic. But somebody was straight away on, don't worry about what a 15-year-old kid has got to say about this. And I'm like, but I didn't say anything about it. So that was a needless attack for no reason. And that person should be ashamed of themselves. So, and they know who they are. It's just terrible. And it upset me because I put so much time and effort into making sure that this works and helps people. And although, yes, it was kind of a divisive question, we're trying to get people to engage and have discussions, you know.
I think it's finding the right level. But being true to the principles, if you're reporting accurately what's going on in the community, and it doesn't need to be stuff from the police. It's people, for me, the desperately needs to be a central resource where you can find out what's going on in the NG9 district, whether that be somebody smashed a window, or whether it be there's a farmer's market, whether it be they're having a charity fete somewhere, you know, just so people can be informed about their local community. Because in my view, there isn't anything that's there, reliable, online, easy to get at. And, you know, there's a lot going off. Why not talk about it? Why not make people aware, you know?
And you know what? I will say, actually, that people say to me, there is no such thing as a slow news day. There's always something going on. If I go on to BBC News right now, the BBC will probably post God knows how many articles a day. A lot, right? A lot. Whether we've had a lot of COVID news today, Andrew Cuomo's resigned in America and A-levels and all that stuff. Just wanted to say, everybody that had their A-levels today, if you didn't get the result you want, it doesn't matter. Keep striving for what you want and don't give up. And for those that did do well, good for you. Well done. But that's kind of off topic. But, you know, you've got all these news articles coming out every day. And it's like, well, these guys are getting their news from all around the world. They've got people stationed in nearly every country in the world. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but it's all mostly COVID related and foreign.
And if people want that news, they can go to the BBC, or they can go to Sky News, or yeah, Al Jazeera News, or whatever they want to go to. They can go away and get it. What there isn't, and what the BBC don't cover and nobody else covers, is so-and-so's having a garden party to raise money for cancer research, or there's a, you know, music festival going off. You know, it's really useful stuff. If you want to go out for an evening or an afternoon, why would you not want to know that stuff? Why would you not want to know, have that, you know, a place for you to go and find that information out?
Well, I absolutely. And I think that it's almost kind of very like Londonized, like the BBC News, because most things typically happen in London. Most of the things that we hear about, you know, the government obviously is in London, you know, and most of the things that do happen is just London, 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 London. And then, oh yeah, COVID, 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 COVID. And although actually what's going on with COVID is actually quite positive, excuse the, you know, pun there. We must think about what's going on in our communities, because I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, wow, that's seriously interesting. All these cool, like, there's cool things happening in the world. There's also bad things happening in the world. And, you know, everybody loves like gossip and, you know, that kind of drama. So of course they'll look at the international news, you know, the big major breaking news. But why not look at what's going on a bit more close to home? You know, what's going on around NG9? What's happening in Stapleford tomorrow? You know, I know that for a fact that just over a month ago, I met with Police and Crime Commissioner Caroline Henry. We spoke about some, you know, cool things. And she mentioned that there was an increase in budget coming to Nottingham. And obviously that's what's recently happened now. And, you know, we obviously saw the increase in budget. That's another news article there. You know, there's unfortunately been some bad things happening in NG9. There was a pizza shop that was not robbed, but the staff in there were abused. It was sickening. They were spat at. They were called to names, like very bad names, using really bad language, and they were threatened with wire cutters. And although that is not national news, I feel that it is something that is important to local news. And believe me, I don't want to be writing about negative stories all the time. You know, I love writing my Sunday column about great technology news, and I really enjoy doing that. But I don't want to write about negative news all the time. But people need to understand that you do have to report on that. That is our job.
You have to give the full picture. So, yeah. Yes, you give the good news and you give the bad news. As long as you do it, keep it local, is my view. You keep it factual and you keep it unbiased. you know, lots of the newspapers and news and media organizations are politically affiliated, and it's I've actually during COVID watched and consumed much less news. I can't actually remember the last time I watched the BBC News because I'm bored of it. And that's what COVID's done to me. I'd much rather just I just have a few sources of information where I can just nip on, have a look, read what I'm interested in, come off again.
Well, that and you know, and I think that I would like to ask this question to you then, Steve. Do you read NG9 News?
Yes, now and then I see the news articles pop up, and yes, I do read. Yeah,
that's a lovely thing to hear. Do you know what I mean? Because for a lot of people, it's like if you ask people that question, they'd probably just ignore it. You know. And then go, okay, well, I don't know, sometimes. But occasionally you get like a nice message, or somebody will tell me, or somebody was telling me that one of their family members like loves reading NG9 News, and they, you know, they wake up every day and they really want to, you know, read it, which is great.
Again, it's down to what people want. If you want, let's say, if you want the big news stories, then go to the big news organizations. But if you want to find out what's happening in your street or your borough, come to NG9 News. That's simple as that.
And you know, I'd like to say that we've stuck by those founding principles. And I think we're definitely going to keep doing that. And I'm meeting an advisor tomorrow who's going to advise us on how we can provide ourselves with funds, because we know we've already discussed ways of doing this. But also how we are going to reinvest it, because obviously we're not going to give it to, there's not going to be commission, there's not going to be wages. It's just going to be a simple case of, right, we've got the funds, what does NG9 News need, and anything in excess we will then use maybe charity, or, you know, starting an event, just cool stuff. I'd love to do NG9 Music. It was an idea that we had a long time ago, probably February time. We never got to do it because of COVID and obviously other priorities, which was just keeping the news, you know, because obviously we reached a time where it kind of peaked at the very start and it was doing really well, and then it kind of come down again. People are calmed down and not listening and reading as much, so we had to find a way to engage.
I think there's as we come out of COVID, especially now lockdowns have been released, there's going to be so many more events. There are going to be the fairs. There's going to be music festivals. There's going to be live music in places. People are going to be doing stuff. So I think there's absolutely masses of material that will be of interest to people.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, if you said to me, is there a fair going off somewhere, you know, where I can, you know, or maybe a car boot sale, so where I can go and find some interesting things, I wouldn't have a clue where to look.
Well, and that's why we've got the calendar setting, and although I've been a bit quiet with the calendar and jobs as well, you know, the jobs page is great at NG9 News, but I've been a bit quiet with it, I'll admit to you, because the main news and obviously the podcast and the gardening, and I'm also now a football coach. It became a bit too much at one point. And obviously that's kind of the reason I've not had a podcast and a good, you know, proper podcast in weeks. I think the last time that we did, if I check now, the last time we did a two-person podcast was June the 6th. June the 28th. June the 6th was Ed Davey. But June the 28th was the last time we did a two-person podcast.
It's important that you don't overcook yourself. I always say you can't pour from an empty vessel, which basically means you've got to look after yourself, because if you're not well and healthy and you're looking after yourself, then you can't help other people. And obviously what you want to do, what you seem to be doing a lot of, with especially with NG9 News and the other things that you do, is you want to help people. And if you burn yourself out, you can't do it. You're useless to them. So it's always look after yourself. Look after number one first. Don't take on too much, and be prepared if it gets too much to put something down.
I've just come to realize this, Steve, because to be honest with you, I've never really thought. I think the idea of burning out was almost like it was something that I'd never considered. You know, I've been told about it and I just went, yeah, I'll be fine. And it was quite something I didn't really think would ever happen to me. But recently, I was gardening and I thought to myself, I'm tired. You know what I mean? I'm tired. I've never felt this way. You know, when I first started gardening, I was out doing 7 or 8 hours a day and it was fine. I was ready to go again. And it was like, I'm actually tired. I'm really tired, you know, and because obviously I will be doing a podcast or doing work and then, you know, I'll have a bit of a rest and then I'll probably go back on online at about 10:30 to finish all my news articles and then go to bed.
I mean, you're talking to somebody who's has burnt themselves out in the past. Work did it to me. And it's massively important. You've just got to look after yourself. I mean, I've probably doing too much for my sanity at the moment with a full-time job and two charity, you know, the radio and another hospital charity. I'm probably doing too much. And the other question you got to think, if I'm doing all this, am I doing it to the best of my ability if you don't give yourself enough time?
You have to, no, you're right, because you have to. I realized at one point that I wasn't giving it everything. You know, I was writing articles about COVID and vaccines and, you know, the updates from the council and stuff, which, don't get me wrong, are articles, but it's not, they don't mean anything. You know, they're there.
Yeah.
And we have to put them out. It's a responsible thing to do, you know. But I came back and I had my birthday and stuff. And obviously I've had a couple of days off recently. We've had a huge, huge influx of news. I'll tell you all this. We've had a huge influx of news. It has been crazy how we've went from literally no news at all to having so much. And don't get me wrong.
Where's that coming from? Is that all local news?
Yeah, it is all local news. It is, and as I always say, anything that is in NG9 or affects NG9, we will write about it. And obviously the police increasing their budget for Nottinghamshire, it's going to affect NG9. We've got to write about it. Someone vandalizing a memorial, which happened, we're going to write about it. And whether you want to view that kind of news, if it's local, we're going to write about it. And if you don't like that kind of news, you don't have to read it. You know, so I don't feel that if you don't like an article or you're not interested in it, don't comment. Don't worry.
I think these days as well, there's so much, because you're doing most of it, well, you're doing it all online. There is so much information you can get about which articles people are reading. What are people interested in? You can find that out. If you write a story, as you very well know, there's some stories that have where the stats have just gone through the roof. I'm thinking the White Lion article a good few weeks back was really well received. There was a lot of people interested in it.
Well, I would say that there was another one as well. It was the night that I actually met Caroline Henry and obviously Darren Henry's assistants as well, who were really great people to talk to and stuff. And there was an article about a truck being stuck under a bridge in Trow.
Yes,
remember that? Now, this post, we just posted and we got the picture and we had a bit of an argument with somebody that was, well, not an argument, but they were having to go at us for a picture that we had used. Obviously, we didn't know the owner of it and we were sent it by a local councillor who I thought it was his. Obviously, it wasn't. It got me into a bit of trouble. But the post was just about the truck that was under the bridge. We got a picture, blah, blah, blah. I posted it, you know, went, had a drink and stuff, checked my phone at about 7 at night, 40,000 views. I thought, it's only been a few hours. We've got hundreds and hundreds of likes and whatever, and hundreds of comments and I kid you not, hundreds of shares. I think there's like 400 shares altogether. That at the end of the post, from the last time I viewed it, there was 75,000 views on Facebook alone.
Yeah.
75,000. I would say, Steve, that we've had well over 200,000 views on Twitter. well over. I'd say that we've had a couple hundred thousand on Facebook. I don't think we're far off a million, really, in terms of views. I don't think we're not about that. But for a local community newspaper or an e-newspaper, that's incredible. And I'm really proud of that.
And I think that, you know, it's very noticeable from what I can see. I'm probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. In the last week, there's two stories that have just gone very well. And they're about, one is about the pizza shop staff that you mentioned previously. And another one is the cannabis story. Now, that just tells me that that's what people really care about. What's happening in their local high road, what's happening in their street. They're, you know, they're the stories that people are really interested in and they can't find elsewhere.
Exactly, because the thing is, it's almost like hand me downs in a way, unfortunately. Sometimes I've heard it before from people that have said, the BBC won't take on this story, so would you be interested in running this? Or, you know, or Knots Live won't take this story. You know, so what do you think about taking this? I'll always say yes, you know, obviously providing that it's not too political and that it's not someone having to go at someone, because I've seen on other news, e-newspapers, that you get, you give the community a column, which we are planning to do a community column. The, during election time, it was just people going at each other over a newspaper. You know, they were arguing over a website. And I don't want us to become that, but you know, sometimes stories aren't big enough for Knots Post. But for me, it's like, well, you've got to put your needs for views or needs for money from sponsorship aside, you know. And although we don't have that, the need for views doesn't exist when we post something.
No, and it goes back to the core principles. You're trying to provide a service for the local community. That's, as long as you're trying to do that, you know, and you're not worried about selling newspaper column inches or, you know, flagging adverts up all over the place so you can hardly read the story, which some of the websites are like. You know, it's simple. It's designed to be simple. It's designed to be the local community. And if there's anything, I think, that can be improved, it's really trying to get more coverage, because there's a lot of beast and stuff in there, and that's, there's more in NG9 is the only comment I would say, really.
And I agree. I the main focus that I want to put on for the next few weeks before college, I'd like to, I've got a few gardening jobs to finish off, but other than that, in the evenings I'm free. I want to start making sure that we aren't just, you know, they say that the BBC is London-centric. They say the UK government is London-centric. I don't want us to become Beeston-centric. I don't want it to be all Beeston, because that's not what we're about. No. I've always, you know, campaigned to make sure that, you know, and made sure that I've asked people, how can we report more on Stapleford? How can we report more on Trow? How can we report more on Toton and Chilwell? How can we do that? Because we need people to help. I can't do this by myself because I live in Beeston. So I'll get all the news out of Beeston, which is great. But how do we improve and go into Stapleford and other areas? And believe me, we're going to do it, you know. But people want to see what's going on in their area. And if it is in Beeston, then it is in Beeston. We can't help that. But, you know, that's the way it is. But from your comment there, Steve, crime, it's not something that we like, but it's something that we want to hear about. Has something gone on down in the Beeston, in Beeston Rylands? Okay, it has. Whereabouts? Here. Okay, well, I'll avoid that area then. Or, you know, in future, I'll get security things put in place. You know, it's just those little things, you know, to keep people safe and keep them informed.
Yeah, because people are, when they're in their local community, they want to feel safe and aware. So if there is a problem, they can avoid it. But equally, they want places to go. They want to occupy themselves. So I think that's the niche. You're not trying to make money out of it. You're not trying to, like I say, you're not trying to sell newspaper column inches. You're not trying to be political. You're just trying to put the information out there that you get.
And that's as simple as it is. we get information and we write on it. And you know, obviously I'm a big fan of the Beastonian, you know, and a friend of Matt Turpin and Christopher Frost, and you know, and the people that work at the Beastonian and, you know, make it the fantastic magazine that it is. But there's also things about e-newspapers that I would say are a massive benefit. We all know what's going on with the environment at the moment. Obviously, we're having a massive impact on the planet, and obviously, we're doing bad things, and it's almost coming to the point where it's irreversible, at least for the next 80 years. So how does an e-newspaper help? It's all online. And although that's using electricity, it's a case of, well, we're not using paper, you know, paper.
I think the challenge, the difference is the big thing is that online you can respond more quickly.
Yeah.
The Beastonian is, I don't know how often it publishes. You know, if I wanted some news, I wouldn't go to the Beastonian. I would read the Beastonian with a different expectation. I would like some sorts of articles, I don't know, reviews and more general things, because they're, you know, they aren't time sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, absolutely, because that obviously the purpose of, you know, the Beastonian isn't for kind of like the daily kind of news. It'll be, you know, the odd bit of like new kind of news. But, you know, I just think that the idea of a magazine is too much hassle for us, or a newspaper is too much hassle for us. And you'd need a lot of investment in order to get that, you know, that the big kind of press thing. And obviously the Beast and Gazette was a thing, but that obviously failed just because of the fact that, you know, it was all going off what Matt Turpin said to us before, you know. It was running off someone's money and their savings, and they had nothing left in the end.
You know?
And we've got to, you know, obviously I don't think the website costs us very much to run. But keeping costs low, obviously we're making a loss. That is how it is, everyone. We are making a loss. We're not making any income from this, but it's at the expense of ourselves. And at the end of the day, if we can help the community and it only costs us however many pounds a year, then that's okay, you know, because the costs aren't high, you know, they're definitely manageable. And you know, if we did need to put more money into fund something, everybody would, because thankfully we've got that fantastic team that are willing to do that. So, but that's what I kind of wanted to say. And for anybody that isn't sure about how NG9 News is run, or maybe have an inquiry to make, definitely drop us an email at ng9news @gmail.com. We're happy to talk to you, you know, and if you want to be covered, don't think that we're going to ignore you. We're not. We want to help you out in the community. So, and I know for a fact that Steve as well is, I just want to say thank you to you, Steve, because you are a fantastic member of our team. And also, we wouldn't be able to run without you. So
you're making me blush now.
Oh really? I thought I was hoping to kind of make you all like teary, but you know, we'll have to go for next time. But
yeah, maybe.
Well, before you go though, Steve, let me ask you two questions. I just want quick answer for the first one. Favorite radio station? And the second question, predictions for where County will finish this season.
Oh, favourite radio station. I'm quite like enjoying Boom Radio at the moment.
Okay.
Although I have to admit, I do tend to listen to Nottingham Hospital's radio quite a bit. I might be slightly biased, but I do like the output.
it's a good radio station. I'll do that.
And as for where Notts County will finish, I think they will finish in the playoff places.
I hope so. But do you think it will go further than that?
They've not got a massively good form in the playoffs. So I think they'll end up in the playoff places.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to come back, Steve, at the end of the season. And well, hopefully earlier than that, really. And discuss what has happened to Notts County. Hopefully it is all positive. But I'd just like to thank you for joining me today. I don't know how long we've been recording. I think just under an hour. God, time flies when you're having fun, right?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, well, you should have said it. Should have said it. But time flies when you're having fun. So I hope you've all had fun listening to this episode of the Backball Podcast. Definitely, you know, drop us a follow on all the socials and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not too, you know, fussed about followers, but as long as you enjoyed the episode, send us some feedback, you know, email thebackballpodcast@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook, Jay Martin, whichever you'd like to do. Drop us a message. Thank you all for listening. That was episode 63 there with Steve Colby. Steve, thanks so much for joining me. Have a wonderful evening, and I look forward to podcasting with you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful day or evening or whatever. Goodbye.